Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Journey. My name is Joel, and wherever and however you're joining me this afternoon, this morning, or this evening, welcome. And I hope you've had a fantastic week. The week for me has been derived of live performances, morning adventures, going for my first surf in a very long time, only because there's just been no swell in Perth, Western Australia. And also, we have opened the show Barracking for the Umpire at Black Swan Theatre Company. It's going down an absolute treat. So it's been a ton of fun. But it's also meant that I've had to change my schedule. Because you perform in the evenings and therefore you come home, you're full of energy and absolutely wired with dopamine and connected to everybody and everything. And then, unfortunately, you got to find a way to go to bed. Normally, I'm an early riser, and so it's a bit hard to go, okay, first things first, let's just wake up, have a glass of water, reconnect to your purpose for the day, do some things that you're interested in, and then, after lunch, just before the show, go to the gym, get nice and warm, both of my characters are incredibly physical, go to work, and unleash the beast, and have a lot of fun. But I found myself, too, in the midst of changing these routines, having that negative self-talk coming up because you're changing the things that make your day what it is. And when you change a pattern, stuff just starts to shift. And it's out of your control. But as a morning person, I pride myself on getting up, going to the gym. First things first, bang, come home. I'm eating breakfast by 8 o'clock or earlier, and I'm into my day straight after that. And so to be having a little bit slower and getting to bed a little bit later, it's interesting that old patterns come in and an old sense of judgment that is actually irrelevant because I'm living my dream. I'm working incredibly hard and doing the things that I love for strangers and people that I love. So I'd like to throw that question to you. Have you found anything this week that's changed for the better? And changed for something that's interesting. But your natural sense of your own routines or what is the norm in your life is questioning that and almost acting like, you know, your white blood cells where you scratch yourself or you get an infection and immediately it reacts and goes, okay, we got to go into battle and fight here, fight to maintain the norm. But I'd like to throw that question to you. And if there has been anything that's come up, just take a step back and ask yourself, are those thoughts helpful or not? The thoughtful help for me or the helpful thought for me is that when I come home, I've got to be really clear about my nighttime routine. You know, come in the door, unpack my bag, get things ready for tomorrow morning, get food prepared again, unpack, clean my Tupperware containers for dinner that night, come upstairs, have a shower, chat to my girlfriend, lie down, read my book, go to bed. Rather than coming home, wasting time, not unpacking my bag and leaving it for tomorrow so that the feeling is doubled, and not scrolling on my phone or not being stuck doing admin on my computer, knowing that I can look forward to that in the morning over a cup of coffee. So, in a way, the sense of resentment and normal white blood cell reactions have been helpful. But in some ways, it's nice to curb them and go, I hear you, but it's okay. And so a way to recognize that today, we'll talk about it, is journaling. And I'm going to share with you, as promised, in this part 4 of the 20 Hours of Silence for 20 Talk Challenge, I am going to share with you some techniques shared with us by the one and only Stephen Bradfield, who is the father of one of the founders, Leighton. Now, I promised too, in this part 4 of the 20 Hours of Silence challenge, that we would talk a little bit about who is 20 Talk? What do they do? Why did I find it so important to go and sacrifice 20 hours of total silence in a 2x2 meter square for this charity? And so 20 Talk is a mental health charity providing young adults aged 18 to 30 years of age with tools and skills to tackle life challenges. It was started by two young fellas, Leighton Bradfield and Lockie O'Donoghue, and it's run by young people for young people. with comprehensive media and training programs that is focused specifically on generational relevance, technological scalability, and best practice learning integration. It was started in 2018, and Leighton was telling us a little bit about how it started in his mum and dad's living room. And it started at a point of personal crisis. Leighton and Lockie both lost two friends in the space of 2 months to mental health challenges. And they decided that they'd use their own personal grief for good use and never let this happen again, or try their best to fight what is a bit of a pandemic in Australia and no doubt the world. But 20 Talk, their purpose goes beyond mental health support. They strive towards empowering 18 to 30 year olds to integrate essential mental health, tools and skills into their life. Because 98% of funding in the mental health area is going towards things to help after the fact, and 2% is actually going towards charities and organizations that want to help before. So that's an interesting number to look at when you think about how best we can help moving forward in Australia and working together not only as a country but as small communities to better each other's mental health. And so I find myself talking to Leighton at a event for Mingle, which is a Western Australian community group, and also now on the East Coast. And we got talking a little bit about what he'd hoped to achieve. And it really resonated with me. And so when the 20 Hours of Silence challenge came up, I leapt at the opportunity. And I've had some very interesting revelations on the time and in my time in the square. And of course, post, in reflecting upon it all. And one of those things that has really helped is journaling. And you no doubt have a massive slice into the pie of my brain, which is my page-a-day journals. And that to me is much more of a stream of subconscious. I find a phrase and I write to it, and I've spoken about that before. But Stephen Bradfield, Leighton's dad, shared with us a technique that he uses for journaling. And so if you'd like to take some notes or make a marker on your phone, this is happening at 7.5 minutes into the episode. If you want to come back to it, at a later date, and just make some notes for yourself. But Stephen has worked with massive organizations in the corporate world and also in the private sector, helping them get the best out of their clients and the best out of their workforce to make sure that people are happy at work, to make sure that people can do their best so that the company and the sector can flourish. And so his journaling technique is 4 steps, and we'll break it down like this. Number one, and this is as you write it out, right? So you write number one, observation. What did you see? And whether you like to reflect on it during your day or after the day, if you're doing like a journal on things that you're grateful for, a gratitude journal, what did you see? Did you see a group of people coming together? Did you see one person making a difference and standing up against tyranny? Or did you see a whole community of hosts just being there for each other? What did you see? Number two, feeling. How did you connect to that image? How did you connect to that observation? I felt this, dot, dot, dot. Or I felt like, dot, dot, dot. It made me feel, dot, dot, dot. So we have an observation. We write down what we're seeing in the moment or what we saw during the day, or what we saw at an event. If we're trying to get something out of our system and connect to it in a different way and move forward from it. And then, two, feeling. Well, how did it make us feel in that moment? What things came up? Did we hearken back to a previous experience? Did it make us nervous about our future? Three, reflection. And then he said something that really interested me. Reflect and ask yourself the 3 whys. And so asking yourself why 3 times. So feeling the thought and feeling how you were in that moment, and then asking, tell me more about it. Or what do you mean by that? Or how did it make you feel? And why do you feel angry? Why did it trigger you in this way? Why did it scare you? So asking yourself three different versions of why is a very good way to clarify past the point, because you're answering one question. Well, tell me more about it. What do you mean by that? And why do you feel this way? It's also a really good tool, as Stephen said, to take it into your daily conversations with someone. If something happens and they're a little bit troubled, or you just want to understand better as a friend and hop down into their hole or share the same horizon, ask them three different versions of why to try to connect to the deeper understanding and the deeper current that is driving that thought forward for them and how they feel in that moment. If you feel disconnected, ask yourself or ask a friend or ask the person you're talking to three different versions of why. And the fourth and final step is conclusion. A resolution or a conclusion based on the observations, feelings, and reflections that you've just written down previously. And I wrote down to myself as we were making notes on the day, as Stephen was talking to us from our little tiny boxes on the floor, how to discern the path forward. Because we observe, we feel, we reflect. Sorry, if you can hear the crow outside. I can't master nature at this point, so he's here to stay. But we observe, we feel, we reflect upon it. But ultimately, we have to move forward. So what is the conclusion to be drawn about how we felt in that moment? What is the conclusion that we can surmise and go, okay, well, this happened because of these actions, because I felt this way. But how do I change that moving forward? What would I like to do next time? Or how would I like to feel next time when this happens? How do I protect myself or make a barrier? Or better yet, what is the actionable change that I can do between now and the next time I'm going to be faced with that challenge? And if you're writing a gratitude journal, you can conclude on the fact of, now I want to return that favor to somebody else. So Stephen's thoughts are incredibly helpful. And if you need structure when you're journaling or having a conversation with someone, this is a great thing to reflect on. So, I think it was 7.5 minutes in and 12.5 minutes. That is a great little section based around some tools and techniques handed straight to us from 20 Talk and Stephen Bradfield in our 20-hour challenge. And I wanted to talk to you. We've kind of made our own conclusion now for the 20 Hours of Silence Challenge for 20 Talk, and talked about who the organization is and some little bits and pieces about how I felt in the square, but also some tools that I stole from great educators like Stephen whilst I was there. But my final thought was a page a day that I wrote just this week, reflecting about my time in the square. And it's called The Tree That Falls for All. And also, I would like to let you know that I will be releasing a short story for you all this week. It'll be coming probably next Sunday in line with another page a day. We'll be back to our normal scheduling. And I'm very excited to share that short story with you. So thank you for your patience. But the tree that falls for all also struck a moment with me today, because I took off and did a big, I think it was about 16 to 17 kilometre hike out the back of Mount Cook near Jarrahdale in Perth, Western Australia. So I jumped in the car first thing, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd made my breakfast, ready to go, packed my bag the night before, full of snacks and water and little bits and pieces. And I took off. Now, I'd never been out this way before. I'd never done the hike. I was really excited to do it. I love going for hikes on a Sunday or Saturday and just taking my mind off the world around me. I find myself incredibly engaged with everything that I interact with. And a hike, especially a long one, is a really good way for me to disconnect. It removes me from the day-to-day actionable thoughts that happen every hour upon the hour because of connectivity and how much we have our phones in our pockets these days. But also it enables me to connect back to my first passion, which was nature. As a kid, I'd get lost in the outback of Pilbara in northwestern Australia, or down south on my mum and dad's farm or granny and granddad's farm or with my cousins in town. And I loved exploring. I loved just finding things and looking into the deep undergrowth and just going, oh, there's an animal over there. What's that? We'll go have a look. And you sneak off and come back to the path and just disappear for a couple of hours, you know. And yet going to do the hike when I got home last night, I really didn't want to go because I didn't know the path. I'd never been there before. I didn't know the details. I felt embarrassed at the fact that if I got there, and it's a pretty extreme, not extreme, but it's a pretty remote hiking destination for experienced hikers. And so on that trail would be people who knew exactly what they were doing. And if I got lost, I didn't want to have to ask for directions because I'd feel ashamed of the fact that I used to pride myself on being a man that was in touch with nature and knowing absolutely everything about anything. And there I am, lost. And so I thought about all these things on the drive, and thankfully I have someone who was an incredible partner, and on the phone last night before bed, she goes, just do it. You're going to feel great for it. Who cares? And I hadn't told her about those feelings about getting lost and feeling silly or small, or that I actually should be recording the podcast earlier in the day, or I should be doing some more study about my writing course. But I'd wanted a break. I needed that break. And what was interesting is that as you listen to the page a day that I'll share, as we were walking through, or I was walking through this hike, it was scattered with huge bonfires that had taken over and ripped through about 5 years ago. Absolutely decimated the area. And there were huge trees falling down all over the place. Beautiful, beautiful big jarrah trees that are just absolutely hollowed because of the intense fires that went through. Huge and beautiful beasts of decades of growth just decimated within, you know, a day. And it was incredible because it made me reflect upon the 20 hours of silence challenge and what I was trying to get to with this page a day reflection that I had during the week. And I remember talking about the eightfold fence last week and talking about all these other versions of myself, which were the other individuals in the room that I was looking at, right? If you'd listened to part three. And the analogy that I'm trying to make is that all of our ideas, all of our efforts are one big forest, right? They're one big ecosystem that we create through our entire lives. From the moment we're born and we pick up a certain skill, or we start learning something, or we educate ourselves, or we find a passion, or we take a career path and we change it there and we keep amending our lives, we create this huge ecosystem, right? There are small ferns, and then there's bigger trees that kind of make up that midsection of a forest. And then there's these huge behemoth monster trees that we invest all of our time and energy into. And they're our main passions. They're our main careers, partners, jobs, hobbies, passions, things that we want to learn and educate ourselves in, investments, money or otherwise. And they're these huge behemoths that we foster everything into. The soil is our life. The soil is the richness of our soul and our mental clarity. And the trees are our efforts personified and made real, right? And so I thought about this bonfire, not bonfire, but this wildfire ripping through these forests and taking apart what is some of the biggest and most beautiful trees that this forest has created. And then the idea of if something happens in a forest, or like when they go, if a tree falls in a forest, do we even hear it? Because no one's there to witness it. No one's there to see it. And it really interested me because in the 20 hours of silence challenge, you're watching 20 individuals or 19 other individuals, sorry, in total silence, going through moments of struggle. But just because they're struggling in silence, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Just because you might be sitting at a computer desk, or you might be sitting in your car right now going through a moment of struggle, it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that just because no one is witnessing it, it doesn't mean it's not real. And it doesn't mean that your efforts and the loss of your energy and those efforts failing, it doesn't mean that that's not going to cost you, because it does. It does. There is a real cost to the things that we do. There is a real cost to a forest losing a tree, even just one. But I hope with this a page a day, the tree that falls for all, I hope to fuel your sense of positivity towards failure. knowing that if a tree falls, even though nobody might be there to witness it or to hear it fall, that for you, it does. You acknowledge it. You can feel it. But that you use it to grow into your next phase of development, into your next phase of success. And so without further ado, this is the tree that falls for all. Dust to dust. The cyclical, destructive and replenishing or repetitive nature of life is inevitable and incredible. There's a turn of phrase that says, no matter what happens in this life, you win. You don't succeed, you get burnt, you come up short, you suffer envy, your ego is humbled, or you risk it all and you don't try hard enough, or you don't try hard enough, and you may fail, but yet you win. A forest, for example, immense in magnitude and so incredibly dense that each and every leaf must battle for sunlight to survive, or a single drop of rain from a deluge that is otherwise swallowed whole by the vast width of bigger trees and their immense canopies. Those leaves that can't survive are dropped by the tree. They have gone, and yet the tree wins, because the leaf will decompose and one day fuel its own maker. Now, en masse, every lost hope in that train of thought, every effort or push for growth that was made in vain or thwarted by the competition for survival, will keep the tree alive. The tree wins. And even that one tree, gargantuan and monolithic, a monument to the journey of death and rebirth, it will one day fall. It will be the tree that falls for all, providing decades of sustenance for all of those around her. And so you see, make the effort, because win or lose, you shall live off the fruit of your own failure. You may lose, and yet you win. So, I hope that makes sense. I hope that draws up neatly what is a pretty vast analogy, but to acknowledge to ourselves that yes, we will fail, and yes, we will put a whole lot of effort into the things that we love and enjoy or risk. If it does fail, if the tree does fall, it will fuel our growth forevermore. So, with that, farewell, good luck for the week ahead. And I look forward to sharing with you a story next week, next Sunday, for our page a day. And before I leave, I'd also like to thank the Hare family, the Pearson family, and the wonderful Catherine Burgess for their beautiful support of this episode, part 4 of the 20 Hours of Silence Challenge for 20 Talk. And to all of our sponsors, thank you so much. Or to all of the sponsors that donated towards 20 Talk, thank you. You've made a monumental difference, and it will not go unseen or unfelt. So cheers. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for stopping in and for listening. If you have any questions, and again, if you'd like to connect, head to Joel Jackson Official on Instagram, or send me an email, or better yet, drop an answer into the Q&A on Spotify or wherever you're listening to the podcasts. Like, subscribe, rate, review, leave something behind so that we can move forward together. Thank you.